Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know.
Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing. Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from?
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Rise and shine, jerks. It's football time. Send your wife to brunch, ship the kids off to grandma's, and tell your girlfriend you're busy.
He loves his wife, and he takes care of his kids, and he's got a good life.
The Sinner and the Saint are here to get you ready for the weekend's gridiron action.
We're going to get you all set up with everything you need to know about what's going on in college football this Saturday.
Frostbrewed Coors Light presents the Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show with gluten-free former Beavers fullback Will Darkins. Here's your host and junior varsity legend, Luke Anderson, on 1080 The Fan.
It's just an unfortunate side effect of beer plus football plus just being an idiot.
Football!
Hey, happy Saturday, Portland. Very happy to be back after a week of vacation. And we've got big news this morning.
Big news.
Big friggin' news. You know what it is? Really, what we've done is we've tried to make it easier for you to communicate with us because our listeners are the reason we do the show.
We care about our listeners.
And we want to be able to interact with you all. You add so much fantastic content. But here's what happens. We use the Bridgeport Beers text line, and we love the Bridgeport Beers text line, 55305, if you'd like to make comments on that. But here's the thing. At the end of every show, we sit there and we read through it and we laugh. We have a good time. We look at all the comments. A lot of them, not appropriate for air.
Some of them, terrible.
That was my next point. Most of them are just awful, and there's really no point. The really good ones are too profane for air, but then there's just a lot of garbage. So here's what we've done. We've created Sinner Saint 1080, the Twitter page.
Twitter handle. So they call it the handle.
At Sinner Saint 1080. It's the Sinner and Saint Twitter feed. So if you'd like to go and use it, we've already put up a poll to help you tell us what you'd like to see on that. We're going to try to create fun and amazing content for you there. But most importantly, not only can you interact with us, you'll see what other users are doing. We've already got one follower. Shout out to, what's his name?
Let's see.
Freddy something?
It's Frederick.
Freddy got fingered.
Frank? It's Frank something. We're really good at this already.
Freed Jr.
I think we're really good at this.
Yeah. We're killing it. Hey, listen. Listen, it's the 2000s, and we need to get into this new thing.
It's the 2010s.
Oh, crap, is it?
I always like that phrase that, like, do you ever remember that back in the 90s?
But isn't social media back like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a little behind.
Like, I feel like that's like a phrase that was used in the 90s quite a bit for stuff that was happening.
It's the 90s, man.
Hey, do you know a good place to get pizza? It's the 90s, bro. Go online. Yellow Pages is on there.
No, I don't think that was a thing.
Wasn't a thing yet?
No. I don't think I had internet at my house until after I graduated from high school.
Really?
Yeah. I graduated in 99. Yeah. I mean, we had libraries and stuff.
Do you have AOL?
Tweet at Sinner Saint 1080. Tell us when you got on the internet. But yeah, we had AOL. We had dial-up. But I think it was after I graduated from high school.
Wow.
I have to remember.
God.
But things are fuzzy.
Did you have AOL, the
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Dr. Super Pimpass at.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep.
Do you remember downloading MP3s or like movies and stuff?
Yes. I remember we had Napster right when it came out. And then we went to LimeWire.
Yep.
And did that. But yeah, we had a computer set up and we actually had. Running off of the computer, we had it going to different amps in different rooms around the house. So when I graduated from high school, my mom got a new house and moved out, and me and my brothers stayed there and added a bunch of roommates to the house that we grew up in, and we just decked it all out. We put couches in every single room, including the kitchen, and just made it kind of a party house.
Just Febreze the crap out of it?
No, we didn't. It smelled awful. Everybody called it the animal house. We said parties most nights. But we had the computer set up that was kind of the hub of everything. People would just go in and download whatever music they wanted for the party, and then you just throw it on a playlist. I can't remember what the playlist we had, but you could just basically just throw in like the party mix, and everybody would go on to Napster and LimeWire and just download whatever they wanted. And that computer had every virus you could possibly have.
That sounds so insanely difficult to the point. You know what I mean? Like now today, it's just basically let's all get in a room and I'll throw Spotify on and here we go.
Yeah, Apple.
It's like back in the 90s, you really had to work to be entertained for free.
Yeah, but it wasn't that difficult. Not like you had to load the CD player and like there was 6 disc changes. You could program a playlist, but you had to put in the track setting and do all of that. The computer was much easier.
Bro, you're CD skipping. Hold on. Let me break it out and clean it.
Yeah.
They had those two CD cleaners. I bought one of those. It literally looked like a gun. You'd throw the CD in and then you hit the trigger and it would.
I'd hate to interrupt you, but you're very off topic. Quite off topic.
There's some football going on, dude.
Today is a huge day of college football. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. We've got our first big poll from the College Football Playoff Committee. So you've got an idea of how the teams actually rank. Yeah, there was a ranking system, but that doesn't matter, and it's idiotic. So you've had your AP poll. You've had your coaches poll. That don't always match. And then you get the College Football Playoff poll. So now we've got an idea of where these teams sit. You look at the teams and you go, all right, who can climb, who can drop? Because you've still got matchups that need to happen, including number one and number two. We'll play each other at some point, most likely in the championship game. And you've got Auburn playing both of those teams. So can they rise as a two team? But I want to start in the Pac-12 with what is a huge game because of what happened last year and because of what happened the 12 years before that. And that's Oregon taking on Washington in Seattle.
The point.
Do you remember what happened last year?
I remember that Jake Browning disrespecting the Oregon Ducks by running into the end zone and pointing at a defender with that disgusting finger of his. How dare he? You know what? That's the Kenny Wheaton moment.
No.
Of now. It's no. The Kenny Wheaton. No. It's no, the no, one no, that no, Husky no. fans will always remember and go, you remember when Jake Browning pointed at that? At that corner.
Yeah, was that the game they put up 70? That wasn't a close game. The Kenny Wheaton moment was the Ducks kept trying and trying and trying to get past the Huskies, and they couldn't quite do it, and they did it in a close game. That point was insult to injury. That was a lot of pent-up frustration from Huskies, 12 years not winning. And this rivalry was dominant and still is if you look at it historically. Washington is crushing in the rivalry as far as total wins. But in recent history, it's been the Ducks, and it's not even close if you just look at the 2000s.
Well, and not only that, but you look at this game, and there's a lot going on here, and we'll go just first with Justin Herbert and his ability to actually play. So, right, he broke his collarbone a couple times during...
He fractured his collarbone.
Fractured his collarbone.
And the only reason I differentiate, so Aaron Rodgers broke it, so he had a full separation of the bone, and then the fracture, it was just basically a crack in it. So it does
need to heal. Crack in the bone.
But it's a much quicker healing process because of that.
And so there were some videos online this past week of him doing some drills and everything, but there's no official word yet on if Justin Herbert will actually play in today's game. Now, if you're the Ducks, right, if you're the Ducks as a team, you want him to play because you want to get bowl eligible, and that's your best chance.
Sure.
Really, up against Washington, you're completely mismatched. As a fan, now if I'm a Ducks fan, I'm almost thinking, just let it go. Almost, let's just play out the season, get one more win, because we probably can against Oregon State, get bowl eligible, and let Herbert heal up. Like, do you really want him getting back out there and possibly fracturing that collarbone again?
Yeah, but I think that's the wrong way to look at it, because if you're cleared by doctors, it means that there's not a likelihood that you're going to go back and get re-injured. And if you're afraid to play football, then don't play football. This whole idea that, well, what if he gets hurt again? It's football.
It's like the Andrew Luck thing.
Well, the
Andrew,
Luck,
on IR
the
whole
Andrew
year.
Luck thing is a little bit different because this is your throwing shoulder and you're trying – bones heal, and if they get to the point where they're as strong as they were before, go. Oftentimes stronger. That's why, like, you hear like ankle injuries, you kind of hope that it's a bone injury and not a tendon injury because those don't recover. Hey, your knees. I mean, how many times have we had this conversation about your knees where you dislocated your knee and what do your tendons look like when you look at an MRI?
Strips of bacon.
Yeah.
Big strips of bacon.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's really
gross. Had you just broken a bone, it would have healed and you'd be fine. But now you run 2 miles and...
I will say that it's better to actually do a break or a straight up tear because it will just get healed immediately. But I mean, I also
think
about
it. It's a longer healing process, but it's a more assured healing process.
I think about Justin Herbert too, just as if I'm going to be selfish and I'm putting myself in his place. It's like you look at this and this is where you and I differ, where I'm one who's cautious about what the future is going to hold. Right. And
well,
I say, well,
idiot.
Do I want to put myself out there? Do I want to get hurt for a sure NFL career? Cause really when Herbert was playing this season, the dude was absolutely, what's the phrase, on fire. Is that right?
No, not quite on fire. I believe he was,
16th nationally in completion percentage, 8th in passing efficiency nationally, and 5th in yards per attempt. That dude's going to the NFL. And
sure.
If he gets a serious injury, possibly on the throwing shoulder or anything else, that's going to put that in jeopardy.
What I was going to say, he was not on fire. He was dominating the first half of football games. So, which is true.
Did you see him against Wyoming?
Yeah, in the first half, he was great.
Insane.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything in the second half.
I love that when we were the Ducks were beating Wyoming, and everybody was like, Oregon's back.
Yep. Oh, for sure. Nebraska, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just come off of the Nebraska win. And
national
then,
powerhouse.
Turns out Nebraska's terrible.
They're all right.
Yeah.
They're Big Ten.
Big Ten is great. Have you looked at the Big Ten West? Well, they're great. No, they're not.
If you're a Ducks fan, what would you rather have? Would you rather beat the Huskies this year?
Yes.
Or would you rather be bowl eligible?
Well, it's one and the same because you beat the Huskies, you're bowl eligible. But rather beat the Huskies.
Let's go in a different
universe. You'd rather beat the Huskies.
You'd rather beat the Huskies?
I think so.
Man.
Especially because it's the game ahead of you right now. I think when you get to this point, so right now the Ducks do not have a chance at the college football playoff. They're playing against I'm sorry. Sorry. If you're a Duck fan and you're hearing this for the first time, brace yourselves.
I can't believe you spoiler alerted it.
This season, the Oregon Ducks will not be in the college football playoff. I'm sorry. Just that's the way it is. Now, when you get into that point, everybody says every game matters in college football, and that's what makes it great. Well, guess what? It doesn't. But when you're rooting for your team, the only game that matters is the game that you're playing. You're playing against a hated rival who does have a chance at the college football playoff. And if you can be spoiler, I think that's what everybody's rooting for.
Yeah.
I do. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Bridgeport Beers text line 55305 or go on to the new Sinner and Saint Twitter.
Brand new.
It is at Sinner Saint 1080. We'll put up the poll. What would you rather see for the Ducks this season? Go on there, fill that out. We'll give you the results when we come back. We'll also get into the Beavers coaching search. We've got a bunch going on in the NFL. We'll do a recap of the World Series. A lot more. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan. Hi, kids. Welcome back to the Sinner and the Saint right here on 1080 The Fan Sports Radio, the number one sports radio station in all of Portland. I'm stalling because Will is trying to learn how to use our new Twitter handle. Waiting for the indication.
Technology's hard.
Is a pull up.
Oh, what's up?
Go to at Sinner Saint 1080 right now, and you can vote on the conversation we're having before the break, which is, if you're a Ducks fan, what would you rather have as a result of this season? What are the options, Will?
Hold on. I have to re-log back in.
Oh, geez. Come on.
All right. Here it is. Options.
Yes.
God damn. It's like programming my VCR. Got to sign back in here. Why don't they let you do polls?
If you're an Oregon football fan, what's a better outcome to the season? Beat the Huskies, bowl game, baby. Lose out, high draft pick. Who cares? Unis are awesome. Those are your picks. Go on to Twitter. We are already up to 5 followers.
I really wanted to put in there, get Chip Kelly back.
Like, oh,
get
Chip Kelly. Didn't you? That would have been way better than the
Chip
other
ones. Get Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator. Chip and Willie together.
Chip comes back. Oh, Chip and Willie.
Chip and Willie, which, by the way, is an incredible name for a sitcom.
I was just thinking that.
Could you imagine Chip Kelly and Willie Taggart living in an apartment in New York?
Chip and Willie is filmed before a live studio audience.
Chip, where have you been? Drawing up sheets.
Here's the question, though. How does Chip Kelly become the offensive coordinator of the Oregon Ducks and the head coach of the Oregon State Beavers?
That's a great question, because the second part's very realistic.
Well, one part of it is true, that the Oregon State Beavers need a new head coach.
They do.
Here's my question for you, though. Do they?
Well, there's Mr. Corey Hall, who's still the coach question. There.
Here's a better way to phrase that. What does Corey Hall need to do to become a real candidate for that job?
I don't know if there's a lot that Corey Hall can do, because for the most part, Oregon State, what they need at this point is not only a young coach with energy, but a young coach who can recruit. Now, he has done a really good job of shoring up recruiting since Gary Anderson has left. I think he got four commitments from people last week from recruits who were recruited by Anderson that might have left. Okay. And that's a really huge step, because most of the time when a coach leaves midseason, you're going to lose a lot of people. So he's doing good on that front. But at the same time, I don't know if there's a lot he can do except for, say, win out the rest of the series. I'll say this.
Win out the rest of the season.
Or I'm sorry, the rest of the season.
No, but I know you misspoke there.
Yes.
He has to win out to become a candidate, not to get the job. You really think he needs to win out?
He is a candidate now. If he beats the Ducks, boom, he's definitely head coach.
He's definitely head
coach. Oh, yeah. Because you know what? I don't think Oregon State is as stupid as USC is. Do you remember USC when they had Ed Orgeron as an assistant?
Yeah.
And I think they beat UCLA at the end of the year, right? Sure. Their rival. And then they go.
But here's the question. We were talking about this yesterday. Is UCLA USC's rival?
Technically.
Technically, because they're in the same city, but they're big rivals. Notre Dame, who whooped them.
They did.
Stanford, I would say, is a bigger rival than UCLA. And
I think they have become in recent years.
Maybe. I just don't see it. I don't put UCLA on the same level. Yeah. UCLA is a basketball school. USC is a football school.
Well, anyways, if you're not a big fan of Mr. Corey Hall, there was a really great name that came out this last week. Are you ready for the Rick Neuheisel?
Who brought up that name?
Local media. Local who will not media. Be named.
You know who would be great? Yeah, shut up.
So in an interview with a local media affiliate, Rick Neuheisel said, basically somebody asked him the question, hey, you know, the Oregon State job's open. Are you interested at all? And he said, quote, I'm not going to pursue it, but if they reach out to me and thought it might be a fit, I would absolutely entertain a conversation. But those sort of searches, they have a guy in mind. They have ideas of where they're going.
Yeah, they're not looking for Rick Neuheisel. That's Rick
Neuheisel. That sounds pretty sure to me.
That's Rick Neuheisel going, yeah, you're an idiot. Nobody's calling me. What are you talking about? Yeah, if they called, yeah, I'd have a conversation. Yeah, he's not interested.
Rick Neuheisel.
He hasn't coached since what, 2012?
2011. Yeah.
Okay.
UCLA.
Okay. So I think he likes what he's doing in the media. He's pretty funny. I think he's good at it too. He'll bust out his guitar every once in a while and sing a little ditty about whatever game's going on. I find him to be rather entertaining, and it's a good fit for him on the Pac-12 network where he can kind of disappear a little bit.
So my brother got recruited by Washington when Rick Neuheisel was the coach. And my brother heard this story from other recruits that to this day I still think is ridiculous. Because you remember Rick Neuheisel at Washington, he let a dude play who had allegedly beat his girlfriend, and another dude who got in a crash and got a DUI, he just suspended him for a half. So he was, he wasn't that harsh on people.
Sure.
So my brother heard this story that one time a recruit came over, and it was a really big-time recruit, and Neuheisel really kind of built him up for the program and really kind of polished him a lot. And then at the end of the trip, he's like, all right, see you, get on your way. The recruit gets back home. He goes into the airport, picks up his luggage, goes home and opens it. It's the same exact bag that he had, except it's full of Washington gear. 2 days later, his real suitcase got sent to him.
That's awesome.
That's the kind of stuff Neuheisel does. That is awesome, but that's what you're also bringing to your program. Somebody who just skirts around the rules a lot. And I think if you're Oregon State, I know you want a splashy hire, but at the same time, you got to have some stability.
Well, sure. But again, this job is for somebody that wants to make a name for themselves, because it's a project, right? You're not going to go in. It's not Willie Taggart getting hired at Oregon, where you can go and go from a 40th recruiting class in the nation to first. You know, it's not somewhere you can go in and go, hey, we have the best facilities. We've been to national championships in the last few years. All we need to do is get this train pointed in the right direction, and we're going. Oregon State, they may not win an FBS game this year.
No. I mean, that's very light. You should put some money on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite like, well, but here's the thing. They play Cal today. They've played much better in the past 2 weeks against Colorado. And they damn near beat Utah.
Should have beaten Stanford, honestly.
It was Stanford. That's what I meant. Yeah. So they damn near beat Stanford on a Thursday night. And I realized that it's not the ideal setting for Stanford. They're not playing with Bryce Love. I get all that. But still, It's freaking Stanford.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a different team and a different look. And that's why I'm so curious about what Corey Hall has to do. If they're competitive down the stretch, and I think you're right, if they beat Oregon, that's a big feather in the cap. But I think if you can be within a couple scores in every game or be within a score in every game, that's a pretty good resume. And you're exactly right. If he can begin the recruiting process now and prove that he has what it takes. The big thing about Corey Hall is he does not have much of a resume. And that's where you look back and you find somebody that's been a coordinator or been a head coach. And the name Bo Baldwin keeps coming up because he was a great head coach at Eastern Washington, won a national championship there. You've seen the success that Eastern Washington
got. Northwest roots for recruiting.
He does. He's from Tacoma. He's at Cal now. But he was able to beat Pac-12 schools at Eastern Washington. And now for him to go in, it's a guy that has something to prove. He's a lower tier head coach. He's now a Pac-12 offensive coordinator. It would only be a season, I realize, but that's a good fit for him. Or the other one is Jonathan Smith, who is the offensive coordinator at Washington and, of course, is a Beaver alum.
Let me say this. Jonathan Smith is about as exciting as a piece of white toast with butter.
I love white toast with butter.
I do, too.
Actually,
some jam on there.
You know what I would? You know what I would do if I would go English muffin? But that's just me. A little.
This country. That's un-American of you. Biscuit
this country?
With butter. I said this country. This you ever have that country. In your mind? Like when somebody
no.
somebody says something
no, that that's why
kind of goes guard. Against your values? It's like, well, actually.
This country's falling apart.
Well, actually, I don't watch the Super Bowl because I find it to be insensitive. This country.
You know what I would like to do is I would like to watch a Super Bowl with a different countries broadcast and but it has to be English speaking, so like Australia or England's broadcast, if they have their broadcasters in there with an accent calling the Super Bowl.
And I don't want them to know the rules really well.
That's exactly
so
what I want.
So it's underwhelming when things happen, like if it's a huge score with 2 minutes left, they're
so
like, there's the score.
It's third down, and all right, what does this mean exactly? Joe, do you know this game a little bit better than I do?
And they've done it. They crossed the line.
They've crossed the line. What on earth does that mean?
Points are on the board.
They've got into the end area, and I imagine that means points. Oh, look at that. It's 6 points for that. Great. Right on, yeah.
Or I would want a Japanese broadcaster. Like, who's really stoked up on soccer. Like, have you ever heard Japanese broadcast for soccer?
The Korean baseball broadcast.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Right. We were talking about coaches, right?
Bobo.
You know, the other part about the Oregon State head coaching search is that really, you know, Corey Hall positions himself pretty well only if there's nothing else that's available that is viable. Again, we're only just assuming everything, right? They've started this search, and theories that are coming out are just kind of fan things. What
it's
if
not
Bill Baldwin doesn't
ago.
Want to put himself there?
Well, it's not that long ago that we went through this with Oregon State, and nobody had Gary Anderson anywhere near the radar.
But Gary Anderson, man, he was such a, I mean, obviously to this point, we now realize he's such a wild card. It was very, very weird. Now, do we want somebody like that who just up and leaves a program that they're in a good position, and then there's some type of erratic
But that's
them.
Not the point that I'm trying to make. It's just that came out of left field. Nobody saw it coming.
Yeah.
It's you just don't know. But Neuheisel, I think, has a point when he says they've got somebody in mind already.
Yeah.
They've got an idea of what they're doing.
Who would you want to see?
Honestly,
are you on the Bo Baldwin train?
I am very much on the Bo Baldwin train. I watched the national championship game that they played. I've watched the games where they played against Washington State and Oregon State. And you go and you watch the way that they go and get a guy like Cooper Kupp, who's, you know, now he's a great rookie in the NFL. But he's going out there. He's making an impact on the next level. He found that guy, turned him into a great receiver, got him drafted. And that's what you want if you're a recruit, is you want somebody that can go and, you know, turn you into the player that you want to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Bo Baldwin's done. The head coaching experience, I think it's big. Again, a Northwest guy. And I think it's a great opportunity for him as well. So to me, it makes sense on both sides. That's where I'm at, so we'll see. We will put up a Twitter poll, and you can tell us who you want to see as the Oregon State head coach. But first, we need to go to the news. All right, so we're really pushing this Twitter thing hard. Let me know when it gets annoying. Bridgeport Beer's text line 55305. Let us know if
it's annoying.
Let us know if you're sick of us talking about Twitter. If you're on Twitter, go to @SinnerSaint1080. You can vote on who you want to see as the new
head coach for the Beavers.
Will, could you read that list for me?
Will, what are the choices?
I'll read the list.
Yeah.
Well, we got Bo Baldwin. Seems like a popular choice.
I like that.
Rick Neuheisel is kind of a sexy pick. I wouldn't describe Rick Neuheisel as looking sexy.
You just did, buddy.
Not into the comb over. Then you got Corey Hall, who's already in there. And then the wild card in all this that I think people should consider is Sean Penn from I Am Sam. I dare you to show me how that's insensitive.
Sean Penn has a huge head.
He does have a huge head. How do you measure a huge head?
I've met him, and his head blocked out all light that was anywhere near us. He cast a shadow upon me in midday.
Don't even need a blackout curtain.
Yeah. Huge head.
How do you measure a huge head?
He's just got a tiny... I just looked at him. He looked like a Tootsie Pop. Tiny little body, big old head.
Is it the hairline, you think?
No. This was circumference.
Just his whole head.
Yeah. Not face. He didn't have a big face. He had a big head.
Yeah, he always looks like he's smelling a lemon.
But he's not a very big guy either.
Isn't he?
So he's got a tiny little body and just a huge head, proportionally, is the way I measure it. So it's like, if you have a huge head and you're a huge person, good on you. Your head doesn't look huge.
Yeah.
He has a tiny body and a ginormous head.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah. Big head like that, you think would be a kind of requirement if you're going to be on the selection committee for the college football playoff system.
I would imagine.
But looking at the way that they rank these things, I'm not sure everybody has the required big head.
Well,
what's your beef?
What's your beef, sports fan?
Let's take a look. First, we'll share what we've got going on. The rankings came out on Tuesday. The number one team in the college football playoff rankings is Georgia Bulldogs, followed by the Alabama Crimson Tide, the one-loss Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the one-loss Clemson Tigers, one-loss Oklahoma Sooners, one-loss Ohio State, one-loss Penn State. At number 8 is one-loss TCU, followed by number 9, undefeated Wisconsin, number 10, undefeated Miami.
Both teams that we have yet to find out, are you for real?
One more time? What are we trying to
find
out?
Are you for real?
What are we trying to find out?
Are they for real?
Whew. I'm offended by that. I don't know why.
I know.
Now, I get that you've got UCF is undefeated. They're at 18. Whatever. You've got a bunch of 2-loss teams in front of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room for movement in this, so obviously it doesn't really matter in the end. Miami will have to prove something out. They'll have to play in an ACC title game.
Well, they'll have to beat Clemson because they got them on the schedule.
Yeah, and you'll have to win the title game. Yep. Wisconsin, same thing. My point with those, I don't think they're going to stay undefeated.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, I can see possibly staying undefeated.
They have the best chance because they have an easy road going forward until they get to the title. I think they play Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah. So the way the Big Ten is built is Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State are all on the Eastern Division. And in the Western Division, you have
the
Wisconsin.
Poopers. Not very good.
And then nobody. Hey, Iowa.
Iowa's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, it's hard to win in Iowa. You can't deny that.
Did you see when they were at, when game day went to Iowa?
Yes, I did.
That was the Michigan? No, Penn State.
No, Penn State.
The children's hospital that they built that overlooks the stadium is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in college football.
And their stadium is also amazingly awesome. And their visitor's locker room is painted a very soft pink.
I like that too. So what they did was they built, and I think it opened this year, but they built a children's hospital and they have a viewing area where the kids can look over the top of the bleachers and look down and watch all of the home games.
That's pretty awesome.
It's just, I thought that was one of the cooler things that I've seen.
The other part of this college football top 25 that is very, very stark and noticeable is the fact that you do not have one Pac-12 team in the top 10.
Washington is your first team on there. They're a one-loss team. They sit at number 12. You've got USC, a 2-loss team at 17. Stanford is at 21. Arizona at 22. And Washington State is on the list at 7-2 at number 25.
So your biggest fears as a Pac-12 fan are starting to come true because it's been coming now for a couple years where a lot of people are saying, is the Pac-12 really even relevant anymore? The best team that came out last year was Washington. And really, they had the easiest schedule in college football and one loss to a USC team that, yes, was good, but can be erratic at times. So now you have this threat of a Pac-12 team not even getting into the college football playoff. You might get beat by, say, let's say Notre Dame loses, then you get Oklahoma in there if they win out. So that means the Big 12 has now surpassed the Pac-12.
Well, but here's the other thing, too, is if you have Notre Dame win out, they don't have to play a championship game because they play an independent schedule. They still play Miami, and they play one other big game, but I don't have the schedule in front of me, regardless.
Who'd you say already?
They play Stanford still?
They play Stanford. They play
Stanford and Miami.
Miami, and then they play NC State. And
no, I think that's... They beat it.
Oh, they did
last week.
God damn, we gotta be better prepared than this.
No, well, I knew that. I was just thinking Stanford is the other team. I was thinking they had somebody bigger, but it's Stanford. So
we're experts on Notre Dame.
Shut up. But here's the thing: is if Notre Dame gets into the college football playoff, that eliminates two of the five Power Five conferences. So you've already had years where you have no Big 12. You've had years where you have no Pac-12. You had last year where Ohio State actually leapfrogged Penn State, who was the champion of the Big Ten. So as you have this continued chaos with this playoff committee, it's not four of the five Power Five conferences that get in. It's just not. Being a conference champion is not as important. The Big 12 was always at a disadvantage because they didn't have a championship game. Well, guess what? This year they do. But theirs is going to be a rematch. So I don't know that you necessarily gain ground. So if you're the top team going into that, unless you have two one-loss teams going head-to-head, it's going to be a rematch, and all you have a chance to do is really lose out. Because if the team that's already lost once wins or a two-loss team goes in, so you have Bedlam today. Let's just say, for example, you have Oklahoma State rematch in the championship game. If they have an opposite result in the game, all they do is eliminate each other, and now you have no team getting in. So that, to me, is going to be a weird scenario. But the other thing that happens, too, is if you have Georgia playing Alabama, both are undefeated, and you have three other one-loss teams penciled into it, would you allow a second SEC team in?
I think it depends on, of course, what the selection committee is going to decide, but at the same time, how they make their decision, which has kind of boggled everybody's mind up until this point. Yeah. I think you got a better idea last year when Ohio State leapfrogged and polywhipped their way into it.
Yeah.
Because I think it was basically their thought that, okay, well, I don't know if nationally everybody's going to identify with Penn State and actually tune into the game.
See,
let's get Ohio State in there. But then there was the thing of Washington getting in.
Yeah.
And I understand there's a big presence of Washington fans in the Northwest. I doubt it's as big nationally.
So, but the way you're saying it is that it's based on TV ratings.
Possibly. Well, I think there's a huge pull to that.
That's the way that you just framed it.
Well, and I think if you go by that theory, then you could be looking at a disaster scenario of Notre Dame getting in there and having to play Georgia right off the bat. Then you see a rematch, which I don't really want to see that.
But you have to believe that if you have Notre Dame winning out, that means they will have their only loss will be a 1-point loss to Georgia.
Yep.
They've beaten USC.
Yep.
NC State.
Yep.
Stanford and Miami.
And Navy, which, by the way, Navy is no slouch.
Yeah, but they're not on this list. All those other teams are on this list. So you're talking about winning four games against top 25 teams, and depending on where Miami is ranked when they play, depending on where Stanford is ranked, because Stanford has an opportunity to move up as well. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think a one-loss Notre Dame team would be hard to keep out. And again, you have a scenario where without a championship game, it doesn't give you a chance to rise. It also doesn't give you a chance to fall. And what'll be interesting to see is because you have five power conferences, because you have a team like Notre Dame that plays an independent schedule, you can't use these championship games as a de facto playoff game. So then saying that you would do that with the SEC, and you're saying that the resume for Georgia or for Alabama would be that, you know, because it's a late game, because it's a playoff game, that would eliminate you as your only loss. That's going to be the best quality loss any one loss team will have, because you lost to either the number one or the number two team in your poll. So you just set yourself up so poorly for this, where I think if you have those two teams playing undefeated, and if you're going off the criteria that you've set, unless you go, well, because they lost late, or unless it's a really one-sided game, you can't put Notre Dame in over Georgia if they lose to Alabama. You can't really put in, you know, I mean, any of these other losses would be less valuable. So it's really interesting because I don't know what value to put on these championship games.
Yeah.
It's really,
It's really difficult. But I think the Big 12's at a disadvantage because you know it's a rematch. I think a team like Wisconsin's at a bit of a disadvantage because that may be their best quality win. So if they trip up before then, I think being undefeated would get you in. But I think that's a bad look for the Big 10 because I don't think they'll be the most competitive team. It'll be really interesting.
Before break, just swinging back to our question of who should be the Oregon State head coach, I go to the text line, Bridgeport Beers text line, 55305. Alex Grinch.
Grinch is the defensive coordinator for Washington State.
Yes. Good or bad? He's very young.
Well, Scott Barnes is the athletic director for Oregon State, and he said if he had his ideal pick, and this is, you know, I'll paraphrasing, but
pie in the sky.
Well, no, it's just the parameters that he was going off of. If he had his choice, he would have a Northwest guy, but he would also have an offensive-minded guy. So that's the only reason that I don't think of Alex Grinch. Because if you're a team like Oregon State, you're going to be able to recruit players that you can develop into great offensive players. But defense is a matter of talent. If you have great talent and you can bring in the bodies, then you can play great defense. But I think the way you win if you're Oregon State is you have to outscore people.
I'm still a fan of Sean Penn basically dressing up and being a character actor from I Am Sam.
Can I just tell you, that's a great movie.
What?
I Am Sam?
You like that movie?
I really like that movie. I love the soundtrack, too.
That movie, to me, was just too frenetic all the time.
Yes, that's the idea.
It was too much for me.
It's a guy that has developmental disabilities.
Yes.
And the idea is that him and his daughter, who's seven, Dakota Fanning, yes, who plays that, are essentially at the same intellectual level.
Yes.
So the franticness of that movie is intentional because it's in the mind of either the child or the
who
man.
Who plays the pro bono lawyer who, ooh, like, takes up his case? There's some case in that movie.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's whether or not it's a custody case.
Oh, right. I got to admit to you, I've only seen bits and pieces of I Am Sam.
Well, there you go. Then that's why it probably seems frantic. You know, if you only watch like the beginning third and then like the middle two thirds and then you take a number two and then you come back and catch the end, it's really hard to follow along.
You know, I watched about 5 minutes of Back to the Future. And it just seems kind of out of context
to
me.
That movie jumps around a lot.
Yeah. First, they were in the 50s, then they went back to the 80s.
Here's the thing. I watched about 30 minutes of each of the three Back to the Futures movies, and I can't piece it together at all.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's just confusing.
I accidentally walked into Titanic back in 96, and to me, I only watched 3 minutes, mind you, but it's just a movie of them on a boat.
Yeah.
What the hell's up with that?
It just, the story doesn't move at all in the 3 minutes that I watched.
And who's that lady in the suit? DiCaprio? It's a pretty lady.
Good versus evil is next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Not all news makes the front page. So now's the time to look at the stories you may not need to know about.
That was a camera shutter.
But you'll be glad you did. It's time for Good versus Evil with the Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Coach Mack and the UAA have mutually agreed to part ways. Later in the day, I met with Randy Shannon, our defensive coordinator and assistant head coach, asked him to serve as our interim head coach, and he has agreed to do so. I think we're very fortunate to have a guy like Randy on our staff at a time like this.
That was stock photo model for bank executives and University of Florida's athletic director, Scott Strickland, addressing the media this past week. And the Jim McElwain experiment in Gainesville is officially over. The former head coach in college... Head coach of the college decided to mutually part ways. ESPN reports that McElwain and the school agreed to a buyout less than $12.75 million. That's a lot of money. The old horse face didn't do too badly with the Gators in his two-year stint, 22-15 record, and won the SEC title in each year he coached. He just couldn't get over the Alabama bump. What was your correction?
Won the title or won the division?
Division.
Yeah.
Well, that's a...
No.
Is that a title?
Nope. No, the SEC title game is for the title, and they did not win those.
I know Willie Taggart took himself out of the running for the job earlier this week, but do you think he might be even the slightest bit interested?
I know that he was at South Florida, but where is he from originally? Is he a Florida born and raised?
I don't have that information.
That I would need to know. I'm looking at Randy Shannon. He does have a very shiny head.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So I can confirm that.
He's a good shiny head guy.
I'm not sure there's a lot of jobs that are better than Oregon right now for Willie Taggart. A, you're already there. is a big part of it. But outside of USC, Texas, Alabama, I don't think Florida's on that level. Maybe Notre Dame, Ohio State, but those jobs aren't coming open.
But to what you always say, it's hard to pass up an SEC job.
I don't know that it is, because you have to play against Alabama. If you're going to take an SEC job, you definitely want to be in the East. But I think it's a pretty good spot for Willie Taggart to be, and a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush.
But it was a very, very serious injury, and as I was told, this is not about saving his career. It's about saving the leg. Does that mean literally saving the leg? There needs to be some clarification. But that's really what it was done. Urgent vascular surgery.
That's broadcasting legend himself, Chris Mortensen, talking about one of the most gruesome injuries of the NFL season so far. During the Bears' Week 8 loss to the Saints, tight end Zach Miller suffered a dislocated knee after catching a touchdown in the end zone. He was later rushed to the hospital, where doctors performed emergency vascular surgery to repair a damaged artery in his left leg. Officials say there was even fear that they would have to amputate his entire leg. What's the worst sports injury you've ever suffered?
Have we not done this 1,000 times?
It's just another opportunity to talk about our bad knees and shoulders. It's a great vehicle.
What's that?
It's a great vehicle for conversation.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I've never had knees or ankles or back really severe.
Did you ever have a wicked elbow injury?
No, my 16th birthday was my favorite sports injury. I was playing shortstop in the second game of a doubleheader. I pitched in the first game. I gave up one hit. The guy that got a hit off me slid into second in the second game, and his metal cleats ripped up my arm all the way to the bone. So I had this huge gash. And I had to go into the hospital with my mom to get a bunch of stitches and stuff. And I walked in the hospital. I'm in a baseball uniform covered in blood from pretty much head to toe. And my grandma walks up from the seats in the waiting room. And she's like, oh, Luke, I didn't get to think I'd see you on your birthday. Happy birthday. Grandma, what are you doing at the emergency room? Oh, my friend had a heart attack. She's fine, though. And she gave me a big hug. And then I sat there and sang happy birthday to myself. And the nurses brought me cake.
Your life is strange.
If you're just learning that, what's your worst sports injury besides dislocating your knee multiple times?
Probably dislocated finger, and that was only just because I had to look at it.
Yeah, I had one of those
recently. That scares the crap out of me.
It's ugly. I've been the same probably the past year and a half just with this whole situation, highs and lows. Just, like I've said before, just have to have the ability to be able to focus and refocus and be ready to play at any time.
Sorry if that was hard to hear, but that was Zeke Elliott.
It wasn't. I thought it was Draymond Green.
He's got some marble mouth.
Yeah. He's got a little Draymond Green in it. Then,
it was quite the roster shakeup this week for the Pro Bowl running back. It was believed Elliott would begin to serve his 6-game suspension against the Chiefs this Sunday, but the Court of Appeals Second Circuit granted him an administrative stay yesterday morning. In totally unrelated news, by the way, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's contract extension is being held up by a certain owner by the name of Jerry Jones. Do you think the NFL is better with or without the current commissioner?
Hard to say. You don't know what you're going to get from the next commissioner. That's,
I felt like this. It wasn't as complicated with Paul Tagliabue.
No. Also, you didn't have social media and you didn't have a lot of the pressure that was on it. The NFL is by far the focal point of the sports world at this point. And a lot of that is because of Paul Tagliabue. But remember when Goodell came in, he was going to be the Iron Fist commissioner. And I think it's gotten away from him. I don't know that it will necessarily be better, because I think with what's going on with the social issues, when a guy like Bob McNair comes out and says the stupid things that he does about his players being more like inmates in the prison. Yeah, that's a difficult group of people to kind of wrangle, but I think it is probably time for a change at the NFL. I don't know that it will be easy for the next guy coming in, but at least he'll have a little bit of room, and I think it's probably time for a change.
I always view Goodell as Reagan, because he came in and he did the whole thing of like just say no to drugs and his drug policy and Reaganomics, and basically just saying like, here's the iron hammer. If you don't do it, screw you.
But here's the problem, though. Reagan at some point was likable.
That's true.
Goodell is not. It's just
Reagan.
was that your Reagan?
Reagan smash.
Well, guys, everyone.
Everybody's beating up their spouses. What do we do about that, fellas?
Well, fellas, what we need to do is stop hitting everyone.
All right, time for my favorite story of the week. And this one comes from a European country many people forget. Wales. That's a country, not the mammal. Scientific officials reported seeing over 20 octopuses Octopi,
I believe.
Crawling onto the shore of a Welsh beach, officials say this is a rare event for so many of the creatures converging into one place. That never really happens.
Did they form into a giant octopus and attack somebody?
No, though that would have been great. They just say that this is extremely rare. This, like, never happens that octopuses all gather into one area.
Whoa, there's a difference between rare and unprecedented.
What? Is
unprecedented means this never happened. Rare means it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, well, they're using the word rare.
Yeah, so that means it's happened before. Just doesn't happen very often.
What's your theory?
I mean, what's my theory?
Why are they doing this?
There's probably a sale at the local JCPenney's.
I don't think they have shoes in their size.
Well,
is that where you buy a JCPenney?
I'm not sure what you buy at JCPenney. I've gone to the photo studio most recently. This is why I went to JCPenney.
Did you really?
Yeah, for pictures of our adorable children.
What? Did it look okay? I don't mean to.
No, they did fine. They had a Groupon. And that's where my sister-in-law took her kids. Turned out just fine. I mean, it's, you know, the same girl with a camera at any Photoshop, just it was 50% off.
See, I can't believe that department stores are doing well with photography anymore.
I don't just think because they're doing well.
Yeah, you could just take a picture on your phone for the most part now.
Yeah. Well, here was the big beef. She took like 15 pictures with a digital camera. It's like, why not just take 1,000? You'll get a lot more money out of me.
I don't know. Maybe she had other clients.
Well, I know, but she would take one picture and then she'd look at it, examine it, then reset, then take one. Just hold down the button.
Maybe she was
a burst feature on your $1,000 JCPenney camera.
There's no way in hell you're doing that job not drunk.
Well, I don't think she was very old, so I don't think her employment options were, you know, the entire universe of employment employers out there. She was going, I need a first job. This will be fun. I'll take pictures of kids. She was very good with the children. I will say that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I would say overall, a very nice experience.
I recommend it.
Highly recommend it. A lot more college football to get to. There are some big games nationally. You've already mentioned Bedlam. You've got LSU, Alabama. Big week in the NFL. I know we touched on a little bit there with Zeke Elliott, but there's a lot of other things going on. Moves at the trade deadline. We've got World Series wrap up. We're going to make picks.
But most of all, we got the Zers.
It is a jam-packed hour 2, and we will start with the Blazers next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan.